What a day of rejoicing that will be for those who are ready to enter in with the Lord. And yet for some people it will not be a day of rejoicing, for there are those who will be lost eternally. We need to concern ourselves about the lost. This morning we're dealing with the question, who is lost? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:16 and 17. It is stated in Luke 19:10 that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That was his purpose for coming. And that is one of the main purposes that we exist today. Since Jesus left the treasure in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4:7, and has given us, his children, the marching orders to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, we must necessarily be concerned about the lost. Who is lost? How can we be concerned, and how can we show that concern unless we're able to identify the one who is lost? Concerning you yourself this morning, you must conclude before this service is over that you are in one of three conditions, one of three different distinct sets of circumstances. You are either safe, saved, or lost. There is no other place for you to be. There are those in the audience this morning who are safe in the arms of Jesus. There are those who are saved in Christ. And all others, and don't overlook this statement, all others who are not safe nor saved can only be lost. For there is nowhere else to be. Let's examine these three conditions for just a moment, particularly keeping in mind that each one of us needs to determine exactly where he is. Those who have not yet reached what we term the age of accountability are safe in the arms of Jesus. Two passages particularly point this out, Matthew 18 and Mark 10. These two passages record the statements of Jesus where he said, in reference to smaller children, of such is the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. Not only did he say that, but he went so far as to say that except you be converted and become as little children, you shall in no wise or in no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. There are many passages and many lines of proof, this being one of the major ones throughout the Bible, that teach us that a baby is born in safety as far as his soul is concerned. We believe that when life is conceived, when that person is a reality in the sight of God, that from that point until the time that one is held accountable by our Heavenly Father, that that young person is safe in the arms of Jesus. Some of the very traumatic situations that I've experienced in life have been times when I've been called on to preach a funeral service for a baby. In a period of some 3 or 4 months back several years ago, because I was living in an area that included many poor folks, many who had malnutrition, I was called on to preach the funeral services for 8 babies in just a matter of a few weeks. And of those 8 babies, all of them were distantly related, or at least in the same area. There were some times through those weeks that many tears were shed by all of us as we went through those circumstances. And yet the one thing that made the difference, the one thing that I could emphasize to those parents whose hearts were so sad on those occasions, was the fact that we do not even have to question where this soul is going. We believe without any doubt that the Bible teaches us that each child who dies in infancy goes to be with God, or his soul will be with God eternally, because he died in a condition where he is saved. Not saved, because there is no need of being saved from sin, since sin is not in his life, but safe in the arms of Jesus. As you look around you today and you notice these little boys and girls that are in our midst, and as you think about the babies that are being carried in their mother's arms, or the arms of others, as the case may be, we can know from the teaching of the Bible that each one of these is safe in Christ. We wish for them long lives. We pray that they may be able to grow up to not only have long lives, but to have lives of quality in their service to mankind and to God. But whatever happens, we know that if the case is not such that they're able to grow into adulthood and to grow past that state of innocency, that these are safe in the arms of Jesus. And we're so thankful for that. So there are those in our midst this morning who are safe. And there is no concern about their souls at this point. The second possible condition in which we find ourselves this morning is described in the Bible by the word saved. Notice that it says there in John 3:17 that Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The subject of salvation is a central subject of God's Word, and may very well be the most important subject that's discussed in the Bible, because all other things lead to that central theme in a sense, the idea of being saved. The Bible teaches us that the saved are in Christ. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, Paul said, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Now he identified where salvation is there. He said that what he had done, even through his persecution, had been to give people an opportunity that they may obtain, to give them that opportunity to obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus. After describing those who were in the world in Ephesians 2 at verse 12 by saying such things as they were without Christ and without God and aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise and without hope, Paul then in Ephesians 2 verse 13 said, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." He went ahead in the next few verses and showed how Christ is our peace and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. This points out very clearly that salvation is in Christ. And at the first chapter of Ephesians, verse 3, he pointed out that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. God's Word also shows us that one who is in the saved condition is one who is a baptized believer. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Part of the Great Commission in Mark 16, verse 16. One who is a believer in Jesus Christ and his promises, particularly accepting the fact that he's the Son of God, and who as a penitent believer then confesses that faith and is buried with his Lord in baptism for the remission of sins, is then saved in Christ and not before. Acts 2:47 along with verse 41 shows that the saved not only are added to Christ, but they're added to his church. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Every person then who has passed out of the safety of life as a child and has reached that point in life where he is accountable to God, who is then obedient to God according to his plan, is added to Christ, to his church, and receives the forgiveness of sins. Now here is the important thing we need to understand this morning. If one is not safe and is not saved, where is he? And there is but one other place to be. One man was quoted one time as saying, "I'm not going to stay here and I'm not going anywhere else." You and I know that that's an impossibility. He's either going to stay where he is or he's going somewhere else. No other choice. In the matter before us this morning, someone might say, I'm not safe, I'm not saved, but I'm not lost. Now, wait a minute. If you're not safe and you're not saved, there is no other place to be but lost. And this we need to clearly understand. Just a week or so ago, we talked a great deal about the restoration of erring Christians. Those who have become saved from past sins, but who have turned back into the world or into negligence, and are once again said to be lost in the sight of God. Who is lost? Who is it that's not in a saved condition so that if today were to be the end of the world, he would be ready to live with God in heaven? One who has gone back into the world is said to be lost. Over there in James 5, 19 and 20, James said, Brethren, if one of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let it know that he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide or cover a multitude of sins. Now, if the process described in those two verses is going to save a soul, it doesn't take very much reasoning to realize that that soul was in a lost condition. He's talking about brethren who've gone astray. He says, Brethren, if one of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that this process is going to save a soul from death. That person was lost and needs to be brought back. It is important for us to underscore this and place emphasis on it. Not only did we talk about it in an entire lesson, but we're talking about it today, and we must continue to talk about it. And I'm thankful, let me say in passing, that the general theme that's going to be used in a county-wide effort that's being planned for August of this year in this county is going to center itself around this idea of the restoration of erring Christians, because we must be concerned about those that are lost in that condition. But then there are many others who are lost who have never yet become Christians at all. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning at verse 7, To you that are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. He said there's going to be a time when vengeance will be taken on those who know not God and who obey not the gospel. There are folks in the world today who don't know God. They're lost. They're not in the safety anymore, and they have not come to salvation. It leaves only one place for them to be. And since Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father but by me, we must conclude that one who has not come to God through Jesus is lost. We need to be concerned about that person. There are those who have heard who have not obeyed. Those who have heard the word of Jesus as described in John 12, 42, who will have that word judge them in the last day, but who were afraid to obey him because of the circumstances of that time. John 12, 42 through 48. There are many people today who have heard the gospel, and there may be some of you in this very audience this morning who've heard enough gospel to convert the world who have yet to obey that gospel. My friend, if you're not safe and you're not saved, then you're lost. There are those who are religious who are lost. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He went ahead to explain in verses 22 and 23, There will be those in that day who will say, Lord, well, we've prophesied in your name, and we've cast out devils in your name, and in your name we've done many wonderful works. They'll make that claim, but look. He said, I'll say to them, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Now, we've already seen this morning that salvation is in Christ. And certainly Christ recognizes his own. Therefore, if these were such that they had never been known by our Lord, they certainly could not be in a saved condition. They were religious people, but they were religious only in claim and not in reality. For for they evidently had not been doing the will of God. They may be not unlike those in Matthew 15:9, who were worshiping in vain because they were teaching the commandments of men instead of the teachings of God. They were worshiping, but their worship was vain. My friends, any person, no matter how religious he may be, who has not submitted himself to the plan of salvation that is taught in this book is not saved because he's not in Christ. God only adds those to Christ and the church who are such as should be saved. Therefore, the person who has not heard the gospel, the person who has heard and has not obeyed, the person who may even be religious but has not obeyed God's plan of salvation, of faith, repentance, confession, and being baptized for the remission of sins, to be added to Christ and his church, has no promise whatsoever of being saved. Therefore, he is lost. And I would like to very personally address this morning to those of you that are adults in the audience who are not members of the New Testament church and who have not yet submitted yourself to the plan that Jesus has taught of being scripturally obedient to him in order to be in him and in his body. We would encourage you to think very seriously about this point. If you're not safe and you're not saved, there's only one other place to be. But this morning, as we emphasize this, there is a particular, specific group of people to whom I want to address this. And I have in mind those of you that are of the younger generation, those who are teenagers and perhaps preteens. We may very well be overlooking something that is of utmost importance. First, let us realize that we do not know from the Bible exactly what chronological age it is at which a person reaches the age of accountability. It may very well be that that specific age, year-wise, is not the same in all cases. There may be those, evidently there are those, who become accountable in the sight of God at an earlier age than others because of the set of circumstances surrounding that particular person. But somewhere in that general area of life, we believe, based upon the teaching of God's word and common sense, that every young person reaches that age that we have referred to as the age of accountability. There are many young people in the audience this morning who've reached that age. Now, here's the seriousness of it. If a child of yours, or if a young person seated here this morning, has passed out of that condition of safety and has not yet passed into the condition of salvation, where is he? There is but one other place to be. Sometimes, young folks, you may think we are pushy when we're talking to you about your souls. And I've heard young men and young ladies say, well, I just don't want anybody to talk to me about it. And I've even had parents say to me, I don't want you to talk to my child about salvation. I don't understand that attitude. Certainly, under no set of circumstances whatever, and by no stretch of the imagination, would we ever want to push anybody into doing anything against their will. That wouldn't be right in the sight of God anyway. And certainly, we would not want to overly encourage, particularly those who are of the younger years, to overly encourage anybody to go through a process that they don't understand. That wouldn't be right anyway. But let me tell you something. Without making any apologies whatsoever, I want you to know, young people particularly, and parents, that I am duty-bound as a preacher of God's word and as a Christian to do everything that I can to teach and encourage every young person to become a Christian just as soon as he passes out of that condition of safety. Because if he doesn't, and something happens, he's lost. And remember, there isn't anything in this world that's worth the soul of one person. Every young person that's seated on either one of these seats right here or somewhere else in the audience this morning is is worth more than all the world. All of it. Every soul of that little boy or girl, maybe who's still in the safety this morning, but every soul is worth more than all the acres and all the nations and all the money and all the technology in the entirety of this world. Don't ever tell me not to be interested in that soul. My God was enough to send His Son. My Savior was enough to die on the cross. And if you and I are interested in saving the lost, we're going to be interested in every person who has left safety and has not yet been saved. And I make a strong appeal this morning, without any apologies whatsoever, again I emphasize, to any young person in this audience, any young person in our families about whom we need to be concerned, who understands the plan of salvation and understands the need of Jesus as a Savior, who has reached that age of accountability, I urge you to realize that you are no longer in the condition of safety. And if you're not safe, and you have not yet been saved, you're lost. That's why there's joy when one of our young folks is baptized into Christ. That's why there's happiness when any of us, and there are some fathers and mothers here this morning, no doubt, who need to consider this too, when any of us obeys the gospel and becomes a Christian, because if you are not safe and you are not saved, you are lost. And there's only one place for the lost to go when this life is over. That's how serious it is. Look at yourself personally this morning. Don't even think about the one who's seated by you or over on another pew. Look at yourself personally this morning. Are you safe? Are you saved? Have you obeyed the gospel to be added to the New Testament church, to have the forgiveness of your sins, to be in Jesus Christ where salvation is? If you have not, and you are not still in that state of safety, you are lost. And there is only one place where the answer to that problem is found, and that's in Christ. If your condition is not safe or saved, you need to rush to Jesus Christ as together we stand and sing.
Before the Lord's Supper will be number 654. 654.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much now that we have this opportunity to take the Lord's Supper in memory of the sacrifice that your Son Jesus, when he gave his life to save us from our sins. We pray that as we partake of this bread that reminds us of his body shed on the cross, we pray that we will always remember the sacrifice that he gave and be grateful that we may have an eternal home with thee because of that sacrifice. This we ask in the name of Jesus.
Father God in heaven, we're thankful for this Lord's Day that has special meaning to us because of the fact that thy Son came forth from the grave on this day. We're thankful for the fellowship we have with our brothers and sisters around the world with whom we're united through his precious blood. We're thankful for this memorial which calls to our minds the blood that was shed in our behalf. May we never take it for granted. May we be honored by the opportunity of partaking thereof. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.